Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Dylan, just reminding you that Topic Thunder podcast is a part of the Believe Network. And with Believe, we have a main sponsor. They've been our constant. It's betonline.ag. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest sports developments, including updated odds on the NBA playoffs, fights, and even next season's features. And don't forget, the MLB is back as well. Who are you picking to win the World Series? BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and use our promo code BLEAV. That's B-L-E-A-V, capital letters, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Hope you guys enjoy the pod.
What's up? What's up, Thunder fans? It is a beautiful night in Oklahoma City. My name is Jerry, and I'm sitting outside on my new outdoor couch, and I am joined by just two awesome dudes. One of them is part of the unit. I don't know why we let him stay around, but he's always hydrating, and he's always drinking something. I don't know what it is in that bottle, but it is something. Coming from the great state of Virginia, it's Three Cone. Don't forget the underscore. What's up, man?
Thank you, man. I appreciate the underscore shout out there. I'm doing good. It is water. I can confirm that for you. But yeah, doing good. You know, got about like what day is it today? 30th. I've got about 3 or 4 days left of college, which is wild. Nice. So yeah, it's been weird, but you know, I need the college semester to get out of the way so then I can focus my entire hopes and dreams on the draft lottery. And then I have time to, you know, work off of that misery when inevitably we end up with not the picks that we want, but you know, it'll work out somehow, hopefully.
You rat bastard. Like, we literally just got done talking about this. All you had to say is we're getting picks 1 and 2 and then we're going to leave it there. Okay.
All right. We'll cut this part out. Just this part here just put me like really confidently saying, I can't wait till we get picks 1 and 2, man. I'm feeling really good about it. I don't think there's any other combination we end up with.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. So thank you, Connor. We got a guest today. He's not new to us, but we love him nonetheless. So joining us today, this guy has amassed 34,000 subscribers. He's a scouting savant, the dominator of the draft, and the paramount of prospect evaluation. He is a friend of the pod, has the coolest name of anyone we have interviewed, and does not think that Josh Giddey is terrible at basketball. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the pod, Hoop Intellect, Keandre. What's up, man?
What's up? That was a great intro. That's probably
the best that that I've gotten. So appreciate it. I think this was the second podcast that I ever did as a guest. So I appreciate y'all having me back on once again.
Of course, of course. And for full disclosure, I definitely wrote that. Dylan did not write that intro. I actually stayed up all night and I did that by myself. So
Dylan's not here to say otherwise. So even if he did, we would never know. So
absolutely. I'm just going to try to keep the trend because Dylan keeps this thing rocking. So, I mean, everybody, I already explained who Keandre is, Hoop Analect. This guy is just amazing at the draft. And of course, we all know that it is draft season. And we always got to have our guy on to just sort of give us some ins and outs, just maybe some players that we haven't thought about in certain spots. So just real quick, you know, Keandre, I'm just going to ask you a couple questions about the Thunder. Not specifically about the draft, but just about the Thunder. So, let's just start off with the easiest subject to talk about. What do you think about Shai?
Yeah, Shai, you know, I think that he's one of the best young guards in the league, to put it simply. You know, a lot of people kind of stopped looking his direction because the Thunder weren't that great of a team this year, of course. But I think he's still on that all-star type of level, that borderline all-star, someone who's in those same conversations as the Darius Garlands. You know, Ja made this ridiculous leap this year. I think that he's still, you know, sort of in that stratosphere as somebody who, you know, is one of the best shot creators in the league. Nobody can stay in front of him. He gets to the paint at will, whenever he wants. One of the most unique players in terms of aesthetics. You know, nobody really plays like him at all. But yeah, I think he's a great player to have and cheer for and build around in OKC. So that's kind of my thoughts on Shai. But in addition to that, you know, he's got to be top three best dressed. You know, he's on league fits every single day. So that's got to be, you know, something to put on top of it too.
What is up with the fact that Oklahoma has probably about 10 years behind all fashion trends normally. And this guy's over here representing us being in GQ. I think this is his third time being in GQ, for sure his second. But you're absolutely right. This dude is the best dressed of them all. And I like what you said. I like what you said there. Just because we're having a rough go around doesn't mean that he's not great. So the next question is, you know, we had a pretty good draft. Well, at least in my opinion, but I'm hella biased. And, you know, we had an undrafted or not. Well, not an undrafted. We had a 17. I'm trying to remember the numbers off the top of my head. Is that right, Connor?
Yeah. Yeah. So 17. Jerry was 31, I believe, or 32, and then Wiggins was 55.
Yeah, okay, so we didn't get reach into the undrafted bucket this year. So we did pretty well. All those guys got rotation minutes for the most part, just with injuries and other things that were going on. So after the season's over, what do you give us as a grade?
A grade? You know, I'm pretty bad at those. I try to stay away from those as much as possible. But, you know, it has to be high. You got Josh Giddey, of course, who would have been a shoo-in for, you know, first team all rookie had he not missed those last, you know, several games. He was a four-time Western Conference Rookie of the Month, I believe, putting up triple-doubles, youngest to do it. One of the best young passers that I've seen. And of course, we all know everything that he brings to the table. And then you've got Trey Mann, one of my personal favorites from last year's class, one of the shiftiest dudes out there. Flashed that super high scoring potential against some of the best defenses in the league. Gave Boston, of all teams, that, you know, I think he had 30 against them. Mm-hmm. He had several other big time performances, Dallas, Utah, maybe, if I can remember correctly. But yeah, you know, he's one of my favorites. I think that he's somebody that should figure well into the rebuilding plan that OKC has going on right now.
Then you got contributions from JRE and Aaron Wiggins, which is all you can really ask for in the second round. So I like the direction that they're going. The rookie class was really good. And you got to also mention my guy, Lindy Waters, who wasn't technically in the draft class, but I feel like he has to be mentioned in there too. So shout out to him. I actually went to Oklahoma State the same time as him, played against him a couple times. So it was dope to see him actually make it to the NBA.
That is actually really freaking cool. And I don't know if you know, but this is the biggest Lindy Waters, the third standing podcast out there. I think Connor has a bumper sticker that says I heart Lindy Waters.
Two of them.
Yeah.
it's actually the license plate.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, what a pickup. What a pickup. That kid could shoot lights out. So just, you know, talking about the Thunder, what do you think that Sam Presti is, quote unquote, following his master plan here?
I mean, it seems like it. Everybody from the post-year interviews and everything like that, everybody seemed to be all on the same page and confident in what he had going on and what he's building. So I think that, you know, that everybody's headed in the right direction. And I really, for me personally, there's like kind of become this stigma around the Thunder as this team that's like, oh, they're tanking the black eye of the league and things of that nature. Like, I don't understand why that's put on them specifically, because, you know, they just made the playoffs with Chris Paul a few years ago. It's been really 1 year of tanking or whatever it's been. And they're making strides towards, you know, becoming a great team, and everybody has these down periods that they actually want to get back to the top. OKC, the big three, the Harden, Westbrook, Durant team wasn't just, you know, NBA finals from the jump. Like, there was a process to that. They weren't good at first. They had those names, but they weren't good. So, you know, everything like that, I think they're headed in the right direction. And, you know, they have all these picks, and by the time next season, I think they'll have a really good direction of where they want to go, depending on who they got in this draft, and just being able to see if they want to package things for moving up in next year's draft to get a guy like Wimby, or, you know, Dariq Whitehead, the Thompson Twins, a few other people, or, you know, go ahead and, you know, look for that star to kind of put together with whoever they have on the roster, Shea and things of that nature. So I like what the direction they're headed, and I think it's going to maybe surprise some people in how quickly that they become a good team again. So,
something that's really interesting is, like, because this is the first time we've seen a rebuild in a while, so it's very weird, like, being the fan of a team that's rebuilding. Like, I just still don't think I figured it out, like, wanting to, because, like, of course I'm getting, like, I have found myself incapable of, like, cheering against the Thunder. Like, even when we get wins, I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. Except last year's Clippers win at the end of the season. That one killed me. That was one of the hardest wins I've ever watched. Very weird process that we're going through. I'm excited about it, though. I know there's, like, a subsection of Thunder fans that are like, we got to go all in now, like, stuff like that. And that are like, I don't know. I just feel like people are, like, somewhat impatient. And it was interesting because Shea said something. I don't know how much you saw from the exit interviews, but he talked about, like, being really excited about what's coming next. And he had, like, kind of a laugh, and he's like, I can't say too much right now, but, like, you know, he kind of seemed to, like, know that, or, like, think that something's coming. I don't know what that is, because I still feel like all Sam Presti preached was, oh, patience, like, it's going to take a while, stuff like that. But I don't know. We'll see. It's been a weird process. Keandre, what team are you a fan of again?
I'm not a fan of any team. I'm okay. Just kind of a fan of all the players, and just watching kind of people develop and things of that nature.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seems like Presti has laid out whatever he has, you know, cooked up to the rest of the team. So everybody's on the same page. And Shea really is the guy that you want to be along with, and everybody else, it kind of doesn't matter. Like, who really cares if you know, everybody loves Lou Dort, but, like, who cares if he's like, I'm not with this, you know, he's just gonna move or whatever.
You said that, but to Shea's the guy who's, you said that to the wrong guy, buddy. All right.
Hey, I'm a Lou Dort fan too, so Yeah, but you know, if he's somebody, you know, if it's Shea that's like, you know, I went out, that's kind of a issue because he is the best player on the team. He's the star. And yeah. He's the oldest, so it's like he has to be okay with whatever timeline's going on. And he is, so that's a great position to be in.
Yeah, it's I'm excited for what's coming. What were you gonna say, Jerry?
I was gonna say you were talking about Sampras, you're talking about the patience and everything, but if any GM is gonna pull like the biggest rope-a-dope in all of history, it's Sam Presti. So, like, for all we know, we're about to get KD, Russ. Who else has been on Twitter recently that we're going to get?
Yeah. Where did that, like, KD – all of a sudden there was, like, a random push from Thunder fans. Like, oh, KD's coming back in 2023. Like, I don't know. I don't know, y'all. I don't think that's – I don't think that's happening.
Don't get me wrong. You know. It would be nuts if that happened with this squad. Like, absolutely nuts. And I think that they would be really freaking good. Like, I don't know what it was about this Nets team. I just never believed in them, even from the beginning. So, but I'm definitely a KD hater right now, unless he puts on Thunder Blue again. So,
yeah, then he comes back and it's completely forgiven.
Oh, dude, the jersey is coming out the closet so quick. Y'all won't even know.
Yeah, you already have one.
Yeah, it's ready to go.
I never got a KD jersey, so I didn't have anything to burn, you know, like angsty 16-year-old me. I didn't have anything to like throw in the trash and be like, I can't believe this. So,
dude, I got the dopest one. It's the blue one with the Thunder, you know, the blue and white one.
Ooh, like the navy one.
Yeah, yep. That's a good pick. Side. Yeah, the dopest one ever.
You get it, Jerry. You get it.
Yeah. Well, it's either that or I'm going to sell it like 10 years from now because it's retro after he retires and somebody will buy it for me for like $500. So,
there you go.
Yeah. I'm in it for the long game, one way or another. no, but I just wanted to say that, like, if anyone's going to do anything crazy, it's Samuel Presti. That guy just doesn't surprise me anymore. And I can call him Samuel because me and you took a picture with him, Cone. So,
we're best friends now, you and I and him. Mm-hmm. Are you still good for lunch with him next weekend?
I'm hoping so. If he shows up, I'll be there. I don't think he knows, but I don't care.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm sure he got the email we sent them.
Yeah,
totally got it. Definitely.
Absolutely. So Keandre, moving on, let's talk about the draft where your expertise is at. So right here, right now, April 30th, on a beautiful Oklahoma night, Kansas night, and Virginia night. What's your top eight? What's your big board look like?
My top eight right now. So I kind of go back and forth with a lot of different things. You know, as of now, Paulo is my number one player on my board.
You don't understand, Keandre. I'm fist pumping like a mofo right now because I got called all types of stuff for saying that he is absolutely hands down the most NBA ready out of all, you know, the top five guys. So just thank you. I'm done interrupting. Paulo, you guys heard it from Keandre, his number one on his big board.
Yeah, you just look at his combination of size, you know, dribble pass and the potential to shoot it. And I think it's kind of been overblown, his defensive abilities. I think that he's a little bit better on that end than his reputation has become. And then we've got, you know, it's really difficult between Chet Holmgren and Jabari Smith Jr. For me, I'd probably go Chet number two at the moment. And we've got Jaden Ivey at four. And then things start to get probably a little bit different. I've got Shaedon Sharpe at five at the moment. I really like his potential. I've got a video coming out on him pretty soon, so stay tuned for that. And then we have Jalen Duren at, what is that, six. AJ Griffin at number seven, and Keegan Murray at number eight. So that's kind of my rough top eight at the moment. There's a couple other players who I think could kind of be interchangeable with those last few, but that's where I'm at.
Respectable.
I mean, I was gonna say it sounds pretty good. I'm really excited about because I watch a lot of your stuff to get ready for the draft because I'm really bad at keeping up with college basketball. But especially with like Shaedon Sharpe, it's like so interesting to me, that whole situation. So I'm excited that you've got something coming out about him. This is something I asked last time, like last draft pod that I was on, but like, how do you evaluate, like, cause he's only got like high school stuff. So how do you really evaluate that? Like what do you take into account? Like, what do you kind of look for to kind of think about how he's going to translate to the league when you're just evaluating like high school tape?
Yeah. You kind of just have to look at a number of different things. It's kind of the raw talent. What are you doing against the level that you're at? Are you, you know, being super effective? And then, you know, the areas that they are scoring on the floor, the sort of separation, you're looking at things like athleticism, size, frame, things of that nature. Just kind of the baseline skill sets, and then just whatever is really like jumping off of the page. So for him, it's like the shot creation, somebody at that size being able to do what he can off the dribble and being able to shoot like he can. Those are kind of the things that I'm looking at with Shaden, and I'm really impressed by him. But at the same time, you know, there is some risk that is involved with him, you know, taking him at certain parts of the draft. And I think that it's going to be interesting on draft night to see where he ends up because of those. And the teams will obviously have more access than we do from the outside. So they'll be able to put him through workouts, be able to, you know, sort of get a sense of his work ethic and things of that nature. But from just looking at his time with Uplay, playing in AAU, in the EYBL, or with Dream City Christian on the prep circuit and in high school, that's just kind of what we have to go off of and kind of just weigh against some past players and the competition that he was facing and kind of just make a sort of educated guess or projection from there.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm like you said, I'm really curious to see where he falls. I have a very weird feeling that he feels like a guy that OKC would pick up. I can't explain it. Assuming, of course, we're not in the top three, because I'm guessing if we're in the top three, it'll probably be one of those guys. Although I've seen crazier things from Sam Presti.
Giddey.
For some reason, Josh Giddey coming at number six. Jerry was a real big fan of that pick. But yeah. I still haven't gone back and I don't think I've gone back and listened to that pod yet. I need to go back and listen because I heard you were really happy with it. But
there's a video floating around. Anytime that I say anything nice about Josh Giddey. What? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to tell Dylan about that. Okay. So, but Tiffany, anytime I say anything nice about Josh Giddey, she plays the video because she recorded me right as we picked him and my reaction to it. And I quote Keandre, there was all these other guys on the board and we picked this F and D head as loud as I could. And then I jumped in my pool. I don't remember if I was naked or not, but I was really mad about
it. It's all blur from that night.
I was.
Who did you want? Who did you want?
I can't even remember who I think I wanted Sengun, and like hindsight's always 20/20, right? Like no matter what, like you could always say you would do it better. And I am so happy with our pick now. Like elated about it. I think it was just the perfect pick for us going forward. And I think it's still a good cornerstone. Let's just say Shea does get a wild hair and wants to bounce out of here. I wholeheartedly believe you could kind of build a team around Josh Giddey and them still be successful. But I was not happy about it until, I don't know, like November 3rd or something like that. Then I was like, oh, I like this guy a lot. He's great. So speaking of, you know, just fits with OKC and whatnot, out of the top three that you have, who's the best fit right here, right now, to make this team inch that much closer to the playoffs?
Yeah, so this is really tough. They're all very different, but kind of play similar positions. I think they'll kind of be in that four spot early on, at least. I think Jabari Smith fits most easily with basically every team. You know, his baseline skill set as this 3-and-D, you know, wing/forward is, you know, it's going to be. He's going to be a contributor on any high-level team. You know, Chet, of course, he's a defensive menace. really skinny, but super tough and has a tremendous upside in terms of potential shooting and creation at 7 foot plus. And then you've got Paolo, who, once again, I say is the best prospect in a vacuum. His ability to make plays at 6'10", he can dribble pass, potential to shoot. So that's kind of where I'm at on it. But I think that I would go with Chet just because of his defensive capabilities. It's really tough because the thing that, in terms of like team building, Paolo is somebody who also wants to get to the rim. He wants to get inside. When you have Shea, you have Giddy already, who will kind of occupy the same space. And if he's not, his shooting isn't coming along in terms of that. That aspect, it can get a little clunky there. But I think if you, any direction that you go, you can make a real case for it. That's why it's really tough for me to decide. But that's, I think I just like that his defensive potential quite a bit. And then once you get into those other picks, kind of factoring those in, you can go in a different direction that kind of mends or brings a little bit to the table what maybe one of those other guys would have picked. But that's if y'all have number one. I don't know if that's going to happen. So you might not be in that dilemma. It might be a little easier decision. And, you know, that's part of it. But that's kind of where I'm at on that. But you ask me tomorrow, I might change my mind. I could really sit here and make a case for all of them. So,
well, and remember what we said, Keandre. We are getting picks number one and number two. There's no other fit. So, so alternatively here, so outside of the big three, whose fit do you like most for OKC?
Yeah. So after the big three, those three, I definitely like the idea of Shaden Sharp in OKC, you know, playing off of Shea and Giddy and the rest of the core there. I really like Jalen Duren being in the middle, being that lob threat that Josh Giddy really has never had. Even going back to the NBL, he was not playing with anybody who could jump more than 24 inches off the ground. I think I would go with Jalen Duren outside of the top three because of, you know, what he brings in the middle. Just the Thunder just haven't had that presence. Everybody who's played the center has been 6'9". And I just like his long-term potential, some of the things that he can do potentially as a shooter, as a passer. And then obviously what he brings to the table defensively, lob threat. I think it would work really well with this team. And then again, you can go in so many different directions with the rest of the draft or in free agency, just kind of building around those three.
I've said a million times on this pod and just in general, if there's one thing I want coming out of this draft, it is some lob threat for Josh Giddey and Shea. That's part of why I like Jalen Duren so much. I also think he just has a lot of other skills like that would fit pretty well in this team. But just even if it's not like our top pick or even like the second pick, just I need a lob threat for those two guys because I think it would open up their game so much. It would be huge for Giddy, the crazy lobs that he could throw. It would just, that's like the one big thing I want coming out of this draft. So I completely agree with you with the Jalen Duren thing.
I've been high on Duren for a long time. So I concur with the both of you fine gentlemen. So what if we strike out on that? What do you think about, and this just isn't a question, this is something that I just thought of because I'm really high on him, Mark Williams for sort of a lob threat, big guy type of guy, you know, that would fit in with these guys.
Yeah, I definitely like Mark Williams in this draft. It kind of got a little bit different down the stretch of the season. Now he's kind of projected as a late lottery pick. I'm not 100% rolling with that. I think he's more of a top 20-ish type of guy. But if for some reason that the Thunder kind of trade up or getting into that, he definitely makes sense. But just in general, without talking about the picks, he obviously makes sense with this group. Lob threat, rim protector, has like a 7'8" wingspan. Definitely fits in with this group for sure.
I like to hear it. So, you know, we got the Clippers pick. Worsticken falls number, what is it, 12 or 13? Someone correct me here.
Is it 12? It's at 12. The lowest it could fall, I think, is It could theoretically fall to 14, I believe, but that would be like the most absurd odds ever. So the lowest it's probably going to be is 12. Yeah.
Okay. So with the 12th pick, the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are they picking and why?
Yeah, with the 12th pick. So if you look on Tankathon, all the time they have Jalen Duren going there. I don't think that he'll fall that far. Maybe he does, and then you just hit a home run on draft night, in my opinion. But if he's not there, then I think that Sam Presti is going to be looking at, you know, guys like Jeremy Sochan, Tari Eason, Dyson Daniels, some guys who can bring a lot of different things to the table, especially defensively. They can pass, guard multiple positions. I think that those are some real obvious targets for them to make, and they fit in with this group really well, especially the ones that can potentially play the four spot. And then you've got somebody who's kind of a wild card like Usman Jang, who I think Presti could kind of fall in love with on draft night. You know, he's a wiry 6'10 wing/guard. He's had a really slow start in the NBL this season and really turned it on towards the end. He's got a lot of talent defensively. He's raw, but, you know, in time, I think that he's somebody who could turn into a real high-impact player. And obviously, Sam Presti looks for that. I mean, the man picked Poku, so you never know what could happen.
We love and Poku.
We do love Poku. I was just going to say that. Yeah, there's a lot of interesting guys there at 12. It feels like there's a lot of different ways we could go. A lot of like the guys you mentioned, I think they all bring very unique things to the table. So that's the pick because obviously like there's like kind of a consensus amongst most people, like kind of who's going to go like around like the four-ish range. Say we just stay there, like the top four or five, there's like a couple different guys that could be, but with 12, it feels like it's very up in the air, especially like if Jalen Duren fell to 12, like you said, I think that would be, because he's a guy like I would love if we fell like a few picks to like 6 or 7 or something, I would be totally cool getting him there. So if he fell all the way to 12, that would be insane. But yeah, I'm really curious the way that we go with that pick. I think just bring in any guy that can kind of give us some 3-point shooting, be a lob threat, just a force down low, anyone taller than 6'9", like you said. I think any of those picks would be good.
I kind of agree with you guys on all the points. So going a little bit deeper into the draft, we also have the 30th and 34th pick. Who are some guys, you know, that late that you think would fit well, or, you know, someone that we should actually just take a swing on, maybe a little project player with a lot of upside?
Yeah, so 30 and 34, you kind of got some flexibility. Now, I don't know if they'll keep both of these picks because you know, you don't want to bring in all these rookies and try to develop everybody, have a super young team again. But, you know, it's possible. I think that you have the potential to, if you didn't get one before, you get a rim protector lob threat here. You got guys like Christian Coloco out of Arizona. You've got Ishmael Kamagate. Some of those guys who can kind of potentially fill that need. Walker Kessler out of Auburn. Potential picks here at 30 or 34. And then outside of that, I think you can go in a couple of different directions. I think one that I would probably go in is looking at players like Jalen Williams from Santa Clara. You've got Vince Williams from VCU, a Christian Brown, KU, just some sort of guys who are a little bit older, can immediately fill a role. And, you know, he's somebody who's going to kind of be in your rotation going forward as you try to make this playoff push in the next 2 to 3 years. A Jake LaRavia out of Wake Forest, and Londez Williams, guys like that, maybe a Wendell Moore, somebody who's going to do a lot of things well. They can guard multiple positions. They don't have too many true weaknesses in their game, but you know that they're going to contribute, and I like that, even as they're a little bit older. Or you go in a different direction where you just go and take maybe the possible highest upside here, and you've got guys like Josh Minot from Memphis, who's super athletic. He doesn't have the shot yet, but he does a lot of things well. He can defend. He can pass it a little bit. He's had great flashes as a driver and creating some things on his own. Or you go with a guy like Leonard Miller out of Canada, who's making a lot of noise lately after the Nike Hoop Summit. 6'11" lefty, he can do a lot of different things, fluid mover. But there's a little bit of unknowns, but you know, knowing Sam Presti, I think he would be one to take a swing at this position especially. And then, you know, somebody like Patrick Baldwin Jr., whose stock has kind of drifted just a little bit. He might be available here, 6'9", somebody who can really shoot it. He has the potential to score well. Didn't have great numbers at UW-Milwaukee, but I think there's a lot of potential there. And if you've watched him play and you've seen him in different settings, you probably agree with me. So that's kind of the direction that I would go with. I think that just somebody who can really contribute going forward. And then obviously if you don't have the rim protector, the lob threat at this point, then you go ahead and get that there. But there's a lot of flexibility, and you know, I don't think it's as deep or as talented as last year's draft by any means, but this could be kind of a sweet spot of the draft, you know, this early 30s range. Again, not as talented as last year where you had Ayo Dosunmu, Herb Jones, JRE was in there, a few others I know I'm forgetting. But some guys who can kind of fill those same kind of roles and really contribute early on in their careers.
Okay. So the Thunder, all right, Sam Presti, he's a man of many words and he's very good at them. He once said that we draft people, not players. So with that said, what type of guys do you think that would fit into that category of Thunder people? And then also, who should we avoid? Like, just run away.
Yeah, so from this perspective, I can't really speak on it like too much in that regard. Like, I don't know them like that. If I had somebody who I knew personally, or there was like a great guy or somebody who was doing all kinds of wild stuff, maybe I would, you know, talk about them. But I can basically only go like off of what I see on court, and a lot of the guys we already mentioned kind of fit that mold. I think all those guys, especially in that early second round range, the Christian Browns, the, you know, Jake LaRavia's, Alondis Williams, some guys in that kind of range, they really fit as those potential lifelong Thunder role player kind of guys who really make a high impact and contribute for a long time, like the Nick Collisons, the guys like that who are fan favorites, maybe don't do the KD type of things, but impact winning in a real way. So that's all I would really say on that. I can't really speak to anything else.
Okay. Hey, Dylan, me and Keandre both think that was a terrible question. So how about you never ask a question like that again? See how I'm doing that, Connor? Just going to throw him under the bus the whole way. And then yeah, take the credit for the good stuff.
By the way, Jerry, that was a really great intro you did for Keandre at the beginning of this, man. I'm really impressed with what you're able to pull off.
Yeah, I worked really, really hard on it. I can't believe I was able to do it either. I believe you, man.
I'm really proud of you.
Yeah, I just want to thank my mama, my wife, my daughter, you know, just all my lovely supporters out there, all six of them. Yeah, Dylan, terrible question. Totally messing around. So moving on to the next question. So let's just assume that, you know, our odds stay where they're at right now. So right now it's 4-12-30. What's a fun player combo you like to see us get?
Yeah, so I put a couple of these together. I think something like you get Shaedon Sharpe at 4, you get Jalen Duren at 12, and then you get Vince Williams at 30. I think that is a great draft. You get a lot of different things. You hit a lot of different points. You got somebody like Shaedon who has all the potential. He can really score. It fits well next to Shea, Giddey, Lou Dort, the rest of them. You get Jalen Duren, who we already talked about, what he brings to the table in terms of this team and his overall potential. And you get a guy like Vince Williams, who's a lefty. He can defend. He really shot it at a high level for his entire career at VCU. He does a lot of things as well, really pass it. He's just one of those dudes who you know is going to play for a long time in the NBA and really contribute. He might have fallen under the radar just because he went to VCU, but I think he picks up steam across the process. But that's one that I really like. I think potentially if for whatever reason, maybe a Jaden Ivey or a Shaden sneaks into the top four, you get Paolo at four. You go ahead and get Dyson Daniels at 12, somebody who can do a lot of different things. Defend. Also, you got the Australian connection with him and Josh Giddey. That'd be fun to see. And then you get a guy like Christian Coloco at 30, rim protection, somebody who's really improved rapidly over the last year. I think that he's going to continue that rate in the NBA, and especially in the Thunder organization, it could be a really good fit. So those three would be another really cool, interesting draft. I'm interested to hear what do you guys kind of have as your dream picks.
I mean, the group that you mentioned with the like the Shaden Duran, and then just like grabbing like that role player at 30, I think that would be incredible. Shaden's the guy I've kind of gotten really high on. Like the more I like learn about him and kind of see people talk about him, he's the guy that I think, because Jaden Ivey, while he is really good, just feels like a weird fit at four. And I think that taking the upside of like Shaden, who could fit way better, I like that a lot. And we've already talked about like Jalen Duren as a pick. I think he would be an incredible fit for this roster. So if we could get those two guys, that would be incredible. And like you said, if any of those top three guys somehow manage to fall out, whether it's like a Shaden jumps up and like he gets more steam and we get one of those three guys at four, Dyson Daniels is someone who coming into like recent draft process, like I wasn't super high on him, but the more that I've like talked to people about him, like if I like him a lot more as a fit. I think I kind of misunderstood who he was as a player, and I like him now. I think he could be a pretty good role player on this team, knocking down shots, playing good defense, things like that, things that this team could really use, building on that defense that was top 10 for a little bit, bringing in some shooting. So that's another guy that I like a lot there. So yeah, really any combination of those guys I think would be awesome. So I'm very similar in like the same boat as you. I like a lot of those like role player guys, lob threats, and then I love the upside of getting Shaden at four if he's there, assuming like nothing crazy happens.
See, and I think I don't know how I feel about Shaden yet. Like, I know he's good. Like, I've watched a couple of videos on him. I'm just not sure how I'm like, all right, is he really just going to be able to make that leap into the league all of a sudden? Because I really think that it takes a special kind of kid to do that. But then also, you know, he didn't play this year. So that's another factor that I look at. But I kind of like him there just because I think that three-headed monster in a year or two from now would be really, really fun to watch. Yeah, I'm big on Duren. I'm big on Daniels. I don't know where EJ Lindell's falling at right now. I've seen him all over the place, but I really like him. I think he's NBA ready. Just the plays that he makes and what he's able to do on the floor. So everybody else I kind of agree with, though, in that 30 spot. I like the Kapalko kid, or I can't even say his last name. It's worse than Pokuševski. And it took me a whole season to figure that one out. But yeah, I think you said it perfectly, Keandre. Like, there's so many freaking options and so much flexibility that you can make where you're not risking too much. You know, you're not pulling any just crazy triggers to try to draft these guys. And you're either going to get something out of it or you're not. It's, you know, it's no harm, no foul, because we all know 2023 is the place to be as far as draft-wise goes. So, yeah. That's sort of my thoughts on that.
Yeah. If somebody like EJ Liddell were to fall to that area, I definitely highly consider him.
What do you have on that right now?
Right now, he is 23 on my board. So,
see, I've seen his low is like 13, 14, 15, and then as high as 25 to like 28. I've seen him just kind of all over the place.
Yeah, I think he could be a candidate that they potentially, you know, package their picks and trade up for, depending on how the first half of the draft went. He's somebody who is definitely going to make an instant contribution somewhere off the bench. I think, you know, there's a plenty of other teams who would really want him on their squad, like the Bulls, for example. Just having somebody who could play the four, he can guard, you know, big wings, forwards and things of that nature. He can protect the rim a little bit, score, shoot the three. He's somebody who definitely could make a contribution for this Thunder team.
I just like him because it's EJ, and I used to drink E and J a lot in college. Y'all probably don't know about that, but it's very cheap, but it's very good. So just next question is, you know, if we were to ask you to just give us a bold prediction about what the Thunder draft, what would it be?
Yeah, so I guess it's not really bold because we've kind of touched on it, but just really expect the unexpected. I think the plan that we've kind of all kind of come to agreement on, or that I've laid out, is pretty good. I like it. But you think back to last year, everybody in the Thunder fan base and everybody, a lot of people on the outside, wanted James Book Knight. You know, Jonathan Kuminga was a popular pick. Everybody thought that Scottie Barnes was going to be there at six until like a week or so before the draft. And it was like, oh, hold on. So you kind of just got to expect to whatever is going to happen is going to happen. Presti's going to do what he's going to do. And if you are a Thunder fan and you're invested in the team, you kind of just got to trust that. Hopefully people kind of learned their lesson last year about with Josh Giddey. So, that would be kind of my.
And Aaron Wiggins.
Yeah,
and J-Rob, impeccable job.
Yeah,
and you didn't even get a grade earlier, so can we get a letter grade on that draft last year? Let's get a letter grade.
Grades are
I'm gonna
tough.
Give it. Yeah. I'm gonna give it an A. I'm gonna give it an A, but okay. Like I don't have any context for who's getting the B's and the C's from the draft, so like I'd have to like really look through it to figure that out. But I'm giving it an A just based off the strength of getting Trey Mann where they got him. So
all right, so
because I thought he was a lottery pick.
Who got an F then last year?
Who got an F? I don't know if anybody got an F in last year's draft. Like,
all right.
I think the 21 class was just too good to get an F. I'm trying to think who would.
All right, maybe F is too far. Okay, we're in 2022. We get better grades now unless you just don't try. So who got a D minus?
Jerry, you're gonna make him have to look up draft classes and stuff.
I'm looking it up.
That's what I do.
I
feel like it was a really good draft class. Like I feel like every team got some type of value, unless you only had like one late pick and you just kind of missed. But like it,
I would say. Someone? I would say. I like these players. I thought it was a really good draft at the time, but if you're not going to play them in any way, and that's kind of because of James Borrego in Charlotte, then you kind of get a lower grade just because of that. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would go with Book Knight, Kai Jones, and JT Thor. But I really like all those players, so I wouldn't really completely say that.
Yeah.
And obviously Borrego got fired, so they'll probably – that's probably part of the reason. So
bring in Daddy Ball. He's coming in next to coach that team. We're here first, everybody.
God, not really. Man, that would be a great day on NBA Twitter if LeVar got hired as the Hornets head coach. Like, that'd be a great time.
Screw Elon Musk. Like that might break Twitter. Like legit might break Twitter.
Definitely would.
All right. Well, we got an A, guys. You heard it from Keandre. So Dylan wrote out this itinerary. I'm going to throw him under the bus here. He put rapid fire down, but didn't give me any context. It just says a bunch of random words. And I understand what he's trying to go after, but I can't think of anything off the top of my head right now. So, with that said, what is your realistic, what are the Thunder going to get as far as picks go in the lottery? Like what's your, if you're running Tankathon right now and you're it, what do you have them as? Get on Tankathon right now and just hit it once and let's see what happens.
Get on Tankathon. We will be hitting the sim lottery right now. Okay, so OKC gets number 5 and 12.
That's a terrible Tankathon. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. We can't
do it again. That was worse. 6 and 12.
Gosh. Hey, Jerry, I ran one. OKC 1 and 12.
Okay, I'll take that. I'll take that.
I got you. I got you.
Dude, it was like my second one. My second one ever. I got 1 and 2, and I about crapped my pants. So I know that the pickings are slim on that, but it would just be awesome as hell if that happened.
Yeah. Every time I did it on here, it got progressively worse. This one is 7 and 12.
Oh, yeah. Just stop, Keandre. Just stop. Just stop, yes, please.
As yeah, we'll make you stop running it.
What are the top two highest picks ever by a team?
I don't know.
The top two highest picks, like
for one team, what's the top picks that they received?
I know Cleveland had 1 and 4 with Kyrie and Tristan Thompson. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you would Google that.
Well, I think that's probably it. 1 and 4 is kind of tough to get. And didn't they get one of those from a trade though? That was from the LeBron move or something like that. No,
that was the Kyrie pick was from the Kyrie pick was from the Clippers, I think. Okay. In the Baron Davis trade.
Yep.
All right. After looking it up, in 1983, the Rockets had picks 1 and 3. So I don't know if anyone's ever had 1 and 2, but they had 1 and 3. They got Ralph Sampson and Rodney McRae. So
nice, solid guys. I watched them back in the day. not really.
Yeah, back when you were our age, you were watching them.
Yeah. 1 and 3. So that's just something else we can beat the Rockets at. If we get 1 and 2, so we should definitely make that happen. I'd definitely be petty as hell on Twitter for a little bit if that happened. So yeah, Keandre, you got anything to plug? Anything that you want to just speak on real quick or step on?
Not really. I just, got the YouTube channel going, Hoop Intellect. You can obviously find me there. I'm on Twitter, Hoop Intellect with 3 L's. Shout out to the guy with the 2's.
Yeah. Let him have his name already. Gosh.
Man, I feel you on that with having to have the underscore in my at, because there's some dude who like hasn't tweeted in 4 years with 3 cone as is a Twitter at. So I get it.
The dude with the at, like, he hadn't tweeted in 3 years. And then like last week he tweeted something. I don't know if I'm getting that back. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm on Instagram, Hoop Intellect. That's pretty much it. I appreciate y'all for having me on. I think we had a pretty good conversation, laid a lot of different things out.
Oh yeah, man. Always. Like I said earlier, for anyone listening, like, definitely check out Keandre's channel. As someone who is really bad with like keeping up with college basketball, like I said, and especially with like prospects from overseas or just playing in different leagues, I watched like almost all of your videos last year leading up to the draft. So shout out to you for helping carry my draft knowledge. Definitely go check out his channel. It's great. And also a good Twitter follow. Whenever Trey Man does something great, I know I can count on him to be right there. So I appreciate it, man.
Yeah,
that's awesome. No, I'm not even gonna lie, I'm gonna have to just back Cone up on this, since we always back each other up. That's literally how I get most of my draft knowledge too. Keandre has a gift. Y'all go enjoy it. It's really good. And he just has a good way of just keeping you engaged throughout the video. So go check him out. Hoop Intellect. Don't forget the Twitter at with 3 L's. Because that one jerk still has his thing. We should probably all DM him at the same time and see if we can help our boy get his Twitter handle. Because that'd be pretty cool. That'd be a moment in Twitter history. So, Keandre, just thank you again for coming and just sharing your time with us, man. Glad you're safe from the Kansas tornadoes. Crazy, crazy stuff happening over there. So, thanks again, man. I hope you have just a great rest of your draft season. This is Jerry again. We got Connor and signing off with Keandre. As always, y'all, thunder up.
Thunder up.
Thank you for listening to the Topic Thunder podcast. Our podcast is available to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review, and follow us on Twitter at OKC Topic Thunder.
Thunder up!
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.